Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode here of the Damage Report. Not just any day, though. It's Big News Wednesday, potentially too big. I honestly don't even know how this is going to go. I feel very overwhelmed. Thank God I have JR Jackson with me. JR, how's it going?
What's going on? Apparently, I'm doing something wrong already.
Yeah. What have you done to Big News Wednesday? But no, we're gonna make it work.
Excellent. How are you guys doing? What's up, Wednesdays?
I'm good. Oh yeah. Well, we didn't talk before. Anyway, hello everyone. Big News Wednesday is coming at you. We're eventually, by the end of the show, we'll be ready to start this show. But we have a lot of news that we're gonna be going through the course of the next 90 minutes, including a debate about yesterday's moves on the infrastructure bills. How significant are they? How scared should we be? Little bit of an update on the, I guess the effects of the Pfizer vaccine being approved. What are companies now doing as a result of that? We've got a few interesting developments there. An awful invocation of the stand your ground defense. I understand there's no good ones, but this seems particularly egregious. OnlyFans backtracks. We got Eric Prince. We got a whole bunch of stuff. It's gonna be a lot of fun. You're not gonna wanna go anywhere. And while you're not going anywhere, you should also hit the like button and share the stream so that people know that we're live. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets, super chats, all that, we'll respond. As we go with that, JR. You're back. I didn't even realize that you'd left, but I'm glad that you're here.
I had left because things fell apart here. Did I mention that I'm ready to go back in the studio? Did I mention that yet?
You did. You understand that, like, if this wave takes as long to go away as the last one, I mean, are you getting in here in 6 months? I don't know. I hate it. Anyway,
I hate it.
We'll talk about that. I'm probably not going to get to go to Gen Con. No one has suffered more than me so far through all of this.
I'm going to have to rip my tickets for Gen Con. I don't know what to do with them anymore because I was dead set on going to Gen Con. Because I live for Gen Con.
You joke, but what you don't understand is that most of the time I spend at Gen Con is in a football stadium. So now, yes, it's playing board games, but it's playing board games on the field of a football stadium. Anyway, okay. So with that, we'll talk more about football stadiums and board games later. But JR, why don't we get this news party started, this politics party started?
Let's do it.
Yesterday, the Democrats in the House successfully approved a $3.5 trillion budget blueprint that will eventually lead to legislation being written, a reconciliation process being initiated. This is not that, but this does pave the way for that. Now, this could have fallen apart because the House has been divided. You have, you know, all the Democrats, and then you have a whole bunch of progressives, and then you have the even more conservative Democrats who were threatening to destroy the entire process. But thankfully that didn't happen. Passage came only after leaders stamped out a revolt among conservative leaning Democrats who withheld their votes until they extracted a promise to vote on the infrastructure bill by September 27th. That, what they're talking about there is not the reconciliation bill, that's the bipartisan bill. So that will be voted on in about 1 month, give or take a couple of days. The breakthrough came after a pressure campaign mounted by the White House, outside progressive groups, and Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That is a weird alliance, but they made it work. Who haggled and cajoled her way to unanimous Democratic support for a measure that had been stalled mere hours before. The vote was 220 to 212 on party lines to approve the budget plan and allow future votes on both the infrastructure bill and a voting rights measure that the House passed soon afterward. So here is where it gets spicy, JR. What does it mean that this happened? What does it mean that they secured a vote on the infrastructure bill by September 27th? Well, it turns out what it means really seems to depend on who you ask, because Representative Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey and eight other, the New York Times says moderates, but you know what I think about that, who had conditioned their votes for the budget on a deadline for action on infrastructure, boasted that their group had succeeded in making sure that the bipartisan bill would, quote, receive standalone consideration, fully delinked and on its own merits. All that means is we want to destroy the reconciliation package, but we can't do that if they're linked. So please delink them so that we can have everything we want and destroy everything that you want. And he says, huzzah, we made it happen. But if you talk to the progressives, they don't necessarily think so. Pramila Jayapal says, as our members have made clear for 3 months, the two are integrally tied together. And we will only vote for the infrastructure bill after passing the reconciliation bill. And furthermore, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, our position remains unchanged. We'll only vote for the infrastructure bill when the House passes a reconciliation package that delivers on overdue promises like lowering drug prices, fighting climate change, supporting childcare, and providing vision and dental care to seniors. So, JR, they very much disagree. What do you think?
This entire thing with this infrastructure, these bills, infrastructure bills, the reconciliation versus the bipartisan one, the House one versus the Senate one versus the one that can go to all of them, and then Biden's gonna sign, and then Manchin's on board for it, and Kyrsten Sinema's gonna be okay with, and now new guy trying to get his name in the mix, Oppenheimer, what's his name? Doesn't matter.
Godheimer.
The thing is,
had a different terrible effect in the world, but anyway.
People, all these politicians are politicking. They're trying to get their names in certain positions to think that they're gonna boost themselves. Somehow, the Joe Manchin thing is catching on. The Joe Manchin approach is catching on. So I'm not saying that they weren't on this before. They're perfectly fine, moderate conservative Democrats from before. Problem is, they somehow think that now I can voice this higher and start pushing back on some opposition. Hey, maybe it'll work for me too, because maybe I can make a name for myself. It's turned all this into the same argument every week that we have about this, just with different players in a different situation and closer to it than further from it. Everybody's playing the game.
But we are closer to it. Like, this is another hurdle. This had to happen. You're not satisfied?
The thing is, every time it's brought up, it's a different player, different position, but the same thing happening. Oh, we're gonna hold this up because we don't think that it's supposed to go right that way. Oh yeah, but we're not gonna hold up because we want to make sure we have this voted on first. And then after they actually didn't get anything done, this is why I know this is what it is. After not getting it done, they're saying victory. You didn't do anything, bro. You didn't do anything. All you did was say your.
Or did they? Or did they get everything they wanted? Have we totally been screwed? Is the knife in our back, but we don't even know it? That's what they say.
Yeah.
And a lot of it seems to come down to the definition of the word is, I'm kidding, that's a 90s thing. The definition of the word consideration. So what does it mean that the bipartisan bill will receive consideration? Does that mean that it will be voted on? If you ask Josh Gottheimer, yes. Okay, that's not literally what it means. No. It could mean that the process begins by the 27th. The consideration could be discussion in the caucus. It could be discussion live on the floor. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be voted on. Now, I say all of this because I like that, at least it feels like right now those conservative Dems are being screwed over, and that's good. I like that. I enjoy that. I draw strength from that. But that does not mean that we will not be totally screwed over. And this is just one of the ways we could be screwed over. Again, that $3.5 trillion bill could end up being something much smaller. I don't know. But as of right now, I'm not too worried by what I'm seeing. So just let me walk you through a couple more little steps, a couple more reactions to this. AOC was reported to say that dozens and dozens and dozens of GOP votes will be needed to offset lost progressive support for infrastructure if it's voted on before reconciliation. She doubts that that'll happen, saying they can't even get a critical mass of people to say the election was legitimate, which is a good point. So in response to the news that the vote was on party lines, that all of those conservative Democrats voted for it, Ilhan Omar just responded with this classic Oprah gif, which I very much enjoyed, where she's like, yeah, no, they all voted for it, which is good. Now, why did they vote for it? We've talked a little bit about this earlier, you know, this week, but they've been really receiving a lot of pressure from Nancy Pelosi, from progressives, from groups like the Justice Democrats, which are running ads in their districts, from people like Jessica Cisneros, who are running against some of the nine, or one of the nine, in this case, Henry Cuellar. And even like the way they thought, no, we're gonna be cool. We're gonna be like the power brokers. But it turns out now, according to Greg Sarge in the Washington Post, they're known in the caucus as the sabotage squad, which is not squad goals. That's not what you want, actually. And like there's talk about like the, I believe it's the DCCC cutting them off when it comes to funding for their reelection campaign. So again, who knows what'll happen, but I don't know. So far, I like it.
Well, yeah, but thing is, like, they're gonna gain. You said you gain your strength from from the way this is all breaking down and how this is going toward badly for them, right? But they gain their strength from money that they're going to get from this, and potential political positioning and ways they can get reelected. Again, it's the same thing. They're just trying to get back in office or make a name for themselves. So the Chamber of Commerce going after these guys, there's also centrist groups and Republican groups that are paying them and congratulating them for all this stuff. They're putting out ads calling them real life heroes. What did they do? This is where the motivation comes in. Anytime people say, so what does this politician not know what he's doing? Or is he just gaming the system in a way? It's always the question of where their level of knowledge is. Their knowledge is strictly based in being labeled by this group, ironically called No Labels. They have a whole ad out in the six-figure campaign ad out talking about all these guys and how they're real life heroes. For doing what? For doing what?
For not sabotaging literally everything the Democrats want to accomplish, I guess. I guess you're a hero. You're basically Iron Man. But anyway, yeah, look, we're gonna keep watching it. We don't really know. It's still the Democrats. It's still America. It's still 2021. That's three good reasons to believe nothing good will ever happen. But so far.
Well, the third leg of it also is you got, again, Joe Manchin, leader of this type of a Democrat, is congratulating them on this. Again, he's like, it's a terrible message that they're sending by trying to hold this bipartisan bill hostage. So they're gaining, again, third time, they're gaining their strength also from this guy. They're like, oh, he's gonna endorse and make sure they know, hey, you're on the right track, fellas. This is working out for me. Do it the same way. I'm never confident is this gonna be shake out in a good way. I'm never confident in that, because as this keeps building and now they have this small coalition of even though they're being labeled the sabotage squad, they don't care. And eventually the real people who are trying to help out Americans always are the ones who fold. I'm completely worried about that part happening.
Look, the only thing you have backing up your argument is every experience we've ever had in our lives. That's it. You take that away and you are on shaky ground, sir. Anyway,
I like your optimism. I enjoy your optimism.
I'm not optimistic. I'm just responding to the past. Looking back. I mean,
the fact that you said Joe Manchin is going to vote suddenly for the reconciliation bill, it doesn't mean that.
Wait, what? No, don't clip that out. Bart, take your finger off the trigger. Anyway, okay, we're going to take our first break. We've been getting a lot of responses from the audience. I want to go to some of those, but we've got more news coming up, including the FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine. That's what Fox has been asking for, and so they must have responded positively, right? We'll dive into it after this. Okay, everybody. Before we jump back into the news, I do want to let you know we polled you yesterday on the program after discussing some of the controversy over the Jeopardy potential new hosts. So we asked you at tyt.com/polls who should be the next host of Jeopardy, and overwhelmingly, with more than 60% of the vote, you all said LeVar Burton should be the new host. Now, down at 20.5%, Ben Mankiewicz is a healthy, respectable second place, considering he wasn't on Star Trek. I think he did pretty well. Mayim Bialik is at a 12.5%. And Laura Coates, despite getting the nod apparently from Trebek himself, not getting a lot of support there. Mayim Bialik's numbers might be a little bit higher, except we did talk about some of her commentary about vaccines. And also about C-sections, she said a lot of stuff over the years. Anyway, okay, well, thank you everybody who voted at tyt.com/polls, much appreciated. Also wanna let you know that as always, Indisputable will be coming up right after this program. So you can watch it on Twitch or at youtube.com/indisputabletyt. Dr. Rashad Rishi will be joined by Dina Dahl, and there will be a debate with Ashley St. Clair. So should be a lot of fun. Definitely check that out. And with that, why don't we jump into this? We're gonna go directly to this video.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the FDA is going to give full approval to the Pfizer vaccine. Do you believe the timing is curious? Warp speed, you break it down. It's one of the president's finest accomplishments. He got rid of all the paperwork and all the bureaucracy that would have stopped this vaccine.
Okay, so what you saw there was a tiny little snippet from an awesome back and forth that The Daily Show put together of how is it a good thing to rush through bureaucracy? Well, it turns out it very much depends on which president is doing it, because they had examples from virtually everyone at Fox saying, it's awesome, he streamlined it. Wait, very suspicious that the FDA all of a sudden approved this after an additional 9 months of research. Very highly suspicious. So anyway, that comparison is available at The Daily Show if you'd like to see those videos. But I want to contrast this directly with the news that the FDA authorized the Pfizer vaccine. So we've had about half a week now. It's objectively good news. They had something like 44,000 participants that were studied across multiple different continents. So a lot of strong evidence that this is a safe vaccine. And you know it's not safe? Getting COVID. So you would think this is good news. But according to Fox, not so much. So let's run through some of their individuals. Tucker Carlson didn't even mention the FDA news, but on his program, he did find time to discuss HBO host Bill Maher's rant about not wanting to take a vaccine booster shot. So what do you know? Bill Maher doing things that get him some cred from the right. Weird. Anyway, Jesse Waters said today the FDA approved Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. But for Waters, this was bad news. He said, opening the door for, you guessed it, more mandates. He warned that now employees are on the risk of being fired for refusing to get vaxxed and said that this might hurt the economic recovery. So I thought it was gonna be good news that there's more evidence that this is totally safe. But for him, that wasn't even worth a mention. It's just bad news because now more people will do mandates. But again, Jesse, mandates for what? For a demonstrated safe vaccine, which you still have to have a problem with because that's where your bread is buttered. You don't have a reason for it, but you do have to pretend that you still have a big problem with it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna have more of this, JR. What do you think?
Well, as I wish I had said it out loud before it happened, because as the FDA approval was gonna be coming, because that was one of the main, I don't wanna call it excuses, but reasons that many unvaccinated folks were still using as why they're not gonna get vaccinated. Well, this is a non-FDA approved vaccine. You dumb it, put something in my body that the FDA is not approved? Because I trust the FDA approving vaccines. And if they don't approve it, I don't trust it. I was like, wait until they approve it, then it's gonna be the FDA cannot be trusted to approve vaccines. What are we gonna now do, trust the FDA? Because the argument has to shift. So as more and more of your reasons get eliminated by facts and research and approvals, you have to shift the reasons why you're not doing it. And fine, but from the beginning, just be honest and say, I don't wanna do it. I'm afraid, I've been convinced of something else. It doesn't fall along party lines. President Trump isn't here anymore, so now I'm mad about it. Whatever your reason is, at least say it, at least be honest, because your reasons are based in things that can eventually be disproven or be or then be approved in this case. So now the next step is gonna be, well, I just don't trust what they're doing here because the Biden administration obviously paid off the FDA to do such a thing. It's coming.
Obviously, the same FDA that did apparently what Trump wanted, and that was so good that that was one of the best things he did during his presidency. But JR, you're right. They have to just be like, we're gonna put the camera on you. We're gonna stick a microphone in your face. And you be frustrated by this. Do I need to have a reason why I'm frustrated? No. Just be frustrated. Don't say anything. Do less. And so we're gonna have examples of that. Dana Loesch was on with Jesse Waters. She argued that full authorization, quote, doesn't change the fact that there are people who have questions. And she lashed out at vaccine bullies trying to smear people who have questions as being anti-vax. Well, I will ask her what I've been asking Fox for months now. What questions do you have? Is it possible that those questions might have been answered by the multi-continent 44,000 person strong study that the FDA analyzed in authorizing this? Do you think that maybe the FDA asked some questions? But no, Dana Loesch, she doesn't have a specific concern. She just has to be concerned. And so she keeps it nice and vague, and she's not the only one. Jesse Waters says, you're not allowed to ask questions anymore, Dana. That's clear. Questions are dangerous. Jesse Waters, ask your question if you have one. What question do you have? You're a host on a show for a network that has billions of dollars. You can have literally anyone you want on your program to answer your questions for you. But first, you would have to come up with one. Maybe that's too tall of an order. Sean Hannity addressed the FDA approval and warning that now they're gonna mandate employers to force people to take the vaccine, even if your doctor says don't get it. He's not saying anything. He's just saying maybe your doctor doesn't want it. Why? Why is the doctor telling all these people not to get the vaccine? Is that a thing that's happening? Have you brought on doctors to say why that's a huge? No, you don't have a concern. You're just worried about people being mandated to get a vaccine that's been proven to be safe.
He's not even worried about that because Fox News does that. But moving on.
Exactly, exactly. Let's see. Laura Ingraham says the FDA approved the COVID vaccine today. I know you're shocked. And of course, President Biden is using it as justification to take away your rights. Well, I don't know. They analyzed it. Why is that not a great thing for Biden in the same way that Project Warp Speed was a great thing for Trump? Is it not for any good reason? Is it just ideological? Am I getting close, Laura? Because you loved it before. It was great before.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to matter. Okay, so also with Sean Hannity talking about the approval and now they're gonna make you do this. They've been saying this since beforehand. If you throw enough of these conspiracy theories and doubts toward what has to happen to people who don't realize what has to happen, because the FDA is gonna analyze this and either prove it or not. And from the loads and loads of people that have gotten the vaccine already, we kind of saw this coming. That's also what I think it was Delta, maybe United Airlines put forward something at the beginning of August that said, hey, when this FDA approval goes down, it's gonna become a mandate. They knew it because they knew it was gonna go that direction. So just the same way that United Airlines knew that this was gonna happen, also Sean Hannity's and Laura Ingraham's of the world knew this was gonna happen. So they, instead of putting forward a directive like we're gonna eventually mandate this for employees, they put forward some talking points saying, wait until they start mandating this. And of course they're gonna start mandating it for employees because the FDA just approved it. We knew it was gonna happen. It's just a matter of which way you wanna direct your audience to think negatively or positively about it.
Yeah, it's so see through. Imagine if we covered climate change constantly, hours every day, and we talked about why it's a bad thing that the climate is changing, and we never ever gave examples of why. We never showed you any footage. There was no extreme weather events. It's not getting hotter. We just said we hate carbon and never backed it up with anything. Wouldn't you stop watching at some point? But they've been doing this for month after month and they're doing just fine. Wouldn't you expect to see a flood at some point? Give me a little fire, some like really dry ground, a little bit of dry dirt, a little bit of sand. Some sort of prop, I don't know. They don't expect it. They don't need anything.
John, it snows in December. It snows in December. Come on, bro.
That's true. If the snow exists, you must acquit, I guess. I don't know. In the wake of the full FDA authorization of the Pfizer vaccine, companies that have for a long time said they would do this are now instituting new mandates of a variety of different forms. And there's gonna be a lot of these, but we wanna jump through a few of the early examples of this. So first of all, Carnival Cruise Lines has updated their COVID-19 protocols for people who are unvaccinated. In a statement shared on their website, the cruise line said unvaccinated people traveling on Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, and Maryland-based ships will only be allowed to board if they have been exempt from the vaccine for medical reasons. So you will be expected to be vaccinated unless you're one of the very small number of people who cannot get the vaccine legitimately, or if you have a doctor that will write up a note saying you get to infect people with the vaccine. If you're one of those two groups, you're still gonna be okay. And so starting on Saturday, August 28th, these passengers will be required to present a letter from the medical provider and an exemption approval letter from Carnival. The statement added that due to these new rules, all other vaccine exemptions previously granted for upcoming voyages will no longer be valid. So considering that, you know, JR, before the pandemic, you could take 10 perfectly healthy people and put them on a cruise and like herpes and stuff would just naturally spring forth. These are fonts of disease. There have still been people with COVID getting on these cruise lines. It's been spreading like crazy. And so this is an effort to try to stop that.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I've never been on a cruise, so I don't know that they have to include in the weather report fronts of, was it herpes?
It has been known to happen. It's the buffets that do it, really.
It's like we're approaching this unincorporated island. It's full of herpes in the air. It just spreads. So maybe you want to get into your cabins. Anyway, so
it's a typhoon rolling in.
I don't know. Maybe it's going to affect, but maybe it's just because I'm the paranoid type. And I don't think cruises are so necessary in my life ever, but even right now, to then jump on these, even as a vaccinated individual. Because of course, as you mentioned, if you can get enough people that fake it or pull off some kind of doctor's note that doesn't exist, I'm not sure the level of verification that Carnival Cruise Lines is going through to make sure that people really do have these excuses and exemptions. That's my first.
I agree. I guess anything is better than nothing. But look, we know that there are doctors and there are nurses who won't get vaccinated. There are presumably doctors who will be known far and wide. Come to me if you live in Mississippi and I'm gonna write up that you can do whatever you want. Oh, you're coughing in my face as I write this? I'm really not that concerned. Here you go. I feel like that will still happen. And cruises are still a very dangerous proposition right now. But there are some people that, I guess if you've bought enough tropical shirts, like you're invested, you gotta go on those cruises a couple times a year. I would love to do it at some point. I can wait. That's what I'll say.
I don't know. I'm a little worried about it. But it's thing is, maybe it's enough of a preventative factor, at least enough of a policy that people will think first and twice about whether or not they're gonna try and forge this or skirt the issue somehow. Because maybe it's not that important to the unvaccinated folks that are trying to get on these cruises. I don't know. But I would avoid it altogether. I think we can live another year or two without cruises. Not for the cruise lines. I get the cruise lines. They want to make their money. Fine. I mean, for people to want to do it, I'm just not interested in it.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, a reminder, the first major COVID outbreak outside of China occurred on the Diamond Princess and was stuck at sea for several days. 700 people caught COVID and about 7 died. And I believe, was that the cruise ship that Trump was like, just leave them there. I don't want them to come on board because they'll mess up our numbers. Yeah, those 700 cases would have really ruined your pristine record. Anyway, that's a change with the cruise lines. Let's talk about another change. And this might be a little bit more controversial. I'm curious to see what you think about this. Uh-huh. So Delta is going to be imposing a $200 surcharge on unvaccinated employees in their healthcare plan. So they're going to be requiring unvaccinated employees to get tested for COVID-19 each week and wear a mask in all indoor settings. Were you not already expecting this? The airline will also subject unvaccinated employees enrolled in the company's healthcare plan to a $200 monthly surcharge and revoke COVID-19 pay protection for those who are not vaccinated. They put out a statement saying, I know some of you may be taking a wait and see approach or waiting for full FDA approval. With this week's announcement that the FDA has granted full approval for the Pfizer vaccine, the time for you to get vaccinated is now. And so the weekly testing requirements, those will start on September 12th. The healthcare surcharge will take effect on November 1st. So there is 9. Jesus,
it's like close to 10 weeks
for you to get vaccinated before this goes into effect. So if you live in America, you're gonna have access in that time. What do you think about this? Is that a good decision?
Yeah, at first when I saw this, I was like, they're coming down hard and it's up to the company to come down as hard as they want. And enough people that don't wanna deal with this surcharge, that's the big one to me, the surcharge on the healthcare stuff. Who don't wanna deal with this surcharge may weed themselves out. So there's not actually any kind of conflict or we fired these employees because their lack of owning up to the requirements now that it's been approved by the FDA. And then this morning in the meeting, Brett was saying that the $200 surcharge, I'd have to find out more, but the $200 surcharge could be something that's trying to benefit, the company and then this healthcare company to make more money off of this and that and then pump this up because of that. But I mean, there's also, I guess they have plausible deniability on the fact that they're like, if you get sick, that costs more money. Yeah. People going to the hospital, that's not free, as we know in this country.
Testing costs money.
You have to test all the time. Now who knows, how much can we regulate employees wearing masks in the times in every situation that they need to? That's one of those things that I'm just not sure how hard you can go that forward on it. So they're implementing these hardcore policies. And again, it's just he planted some seeds of doubt in my head on that part, but I'd have to look further to see how that all can work out and really if that's a reasonable thing to add that $200 for that. Yeah. But as far as the pay for once you go out and get sick, that one was my first issue. Because what if somebody does get sick and maybe they were vaccinated or maybe they catch it and that there's some breakthrough cases. So you have some of the gray area that could be a problem with this.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know if the $200 thing is a reasonable amount. I have no idea. And you know what I would prefer? I would prefer a situation where corporations don't have any room to be making sorts of decisions like this. And the way we get to that is getting everyone vaccinated so that the corporations don't have to be involved in this process at all. Right. But right now they are. And so look, I don't know if there's any one thing that's gonna get us to 100% vaccination. I think it's gonna be a lot of different incentives. Some benefits for being vaccinated, some penalties for not being vaccinated, some restrictions on what you can do or where you can travel. I mean, we're back up to what, like 1,500 people dying close to a day again, needlessly. Anyway,
it's so wait, so you're kind of on board. You're on the iron fist policy.
Sure. I don't know exactly what the iron fist should look like, but there has to be something. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Delta, by the way, says that 75% of their workforce are already vaccinated, but they want to, of course, get that up to 100%. I mean, look, it's an airline. This is one of those areas where 75% is not good enough. 75% of the doctors in your hospital being vaccinated. I'm not clapping for you. You could do it today. Honestly, I think, you know what? Kids love messing with people. We should just give every kid in the country 20 syringes filled with vaccine. Just let them run wild. Just stabbing people, honestly. They could get the country vaccinated in like a day. I once had a cast on my leg, and the little brother of my friend walked up and asked me what was wrong. And I was like, I hurt my leg. And he wound up and he kicked it as hard as he could. That kid would have vaxxed me and everyone I knew. Anyway.
That kid's an adult now, and he's probably working for this strong-armed Biden administration. I bet he's there.
Probably. That kid, Stephen Miller. Okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take one more break. When we come back, we're gonna really mix things up. We've got a weird block. We're gonna be talking about Stand Your Ground and racists, as well as OnlyFans coming up after this. Everyone, we are about to show you very rough footage, so hold on to your news butts. Let's jump into this.
You ran over my foot! You guys, keep moving!
And this guy right now.
Y'all don't be on the news! Y'all don't make the news!
That's fine!
Okay, so what you had there is a little bit of an interaction. During a protest back in 2019, a man named Mark Bartlett and his wife jumping out of their car that had been stopped by a protest and rushing the kids who were protesting, Mark Bartlett decided to bring his gun because America. And so we want to catch you up on this because there are now some consequences for this, and it's taken perhaps an even worse turn. But before we give you the details, we want you to understand the interaction. So we're going to show you more of the footage, but you need to understand there's not much dialogue because so much of it has to be bleeped out. And that is both, it's a melange really of traditional swears and Mark Bartlett repeatedly yelling the N-word. So with that said, take a look.
You ran over my foot! You guys, keep moving! And this guy right now.
Y'all don't be on the news! Y'all don't make the news!
That's fine!
All right!
Okay, so there's other video, by the way. That was just one of the times they got out of their car. And there's also footage from when they were in their cars. So at one point, Mark Bartlett was driving his car and someone was filming him in his car. And he was just shouting, N-words suck, N-word suck over and over and over again, to give you an idea. I do like it when people find their soulmate, though. The fact that she ran up on those kids and immediately called them a bunch of thugs, like they really did find each other, JR. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, they're meant to be. But this is the thing. As I'm sure you're gonna get to what their defense is on this, but
yes.
Usually if you're trying to, maybe you're worried about a certain group of people and you're the victim here, you just don't run up on them, get in their face,
yep,
and call them a bunch of names. Because you know that's how people act when they're worried or threatened or feel like somebody's coming for them. They come for them. They come after the perceived threat first. Because that's how things usually work here. When you have a car and kids are on bikes, because you know that's an even matchup there. I get the inconvenience if you're upset about being stopped. I get inconvenienced by Priuses every day. Doesn't mean I jump out and then run up on them and say, "How dare you block this way? You're driving 25 miles an hour on the freeway." Like all that stuff. It doesn't mean you have to then become the aggressor on this. Like
totally.
People like the level of anger that happens from a simple thing like this, and you just be packing your gun while you call other people thugs.
Yeah.
It's just the irony is dripping here.
100%. Like I don't know what a thug is, but running up and threatening kids with a gun seems like one thing. And look, honestly, like it's a really aggressive thing to do, especially if you have whatever thing is affecting him that causes him to walk like this, whatever that is, be more careful starting fights with people if you have whatever that is. Whatever this is. Anyway, let me get the details of what was going on. So back on MLK Day in 2019 in Miami, where the footage takes place, a group of teenagers, boys and girls, some as young as 11 years old, were protesting the lack of affordable housing there. The boys rode their bicycles to Brick L as part of Bikes Up, Guns Down, a nationwide movement for public MLK Day group rideouts to protest racial injustice. So this is awesome. I understand it's inconvenient or whatever, but those kids are doing what you're supposed to do. Like this is an American thing, trying to raise awareness around serious issues. One boy held up a Save Liberty Square sign referring to the community where a historic public housing project for blacks first opened back in 1937. And BLM in general at that time was advocating stopping traffic as a form of civil disobedience to disrupt the daily life of people who might otherwise be unaware of their plight. And I sort of get it. Like, okay, you don't want them to stop traffic. You just want what? You want to be able to continue on with your life the way it was without having to learn about anything that inconveniences you, which I sort of get. But anyway, as a result of what you saw there, Mark Bartlett is facing 5 felony charges of carrying a concealed weapon, 3 counts of aggravated assault with prejudice, an improper exhibition of a firearm. He says that he got out of his car to confront the protesters with his gun because he feared for his wife's safety.
Oh, yeah.
An officer on the scene said he saw the kids obstructing traffic but saw no need to exit his vehicle. His attorney said they're riding up to vehicles, they're banging on cars, they're scaring people. They have masks on, they're scaring people. I have a feeling that their opposition to masks probably is consistent. But anyway, so his wife was in danger, supposedly. She ran out and got up on them, like, and said that they'd ran over their foot. And I don't think that he did. And even if he did, it's not that bad, but I don't think that he did. So you can't endanger yourself and then claim I can use deadly force because of how scared I am. Except that in America, you very much can, because we call that standing your ground now. And that is the defense that he is going to be taking, JR.
Cool.
They put themselves in danger, get really, really scared, and then their fear is the excuse to potentially murder someone. So I don't know if it's going to work, but this is the defense he's using.
Well, this is the same thing. This is the Ken and Karen thing. We saw the couple in Missouri, in St. Louis area, come out with long rifles and then a handgun and talk about stand your ground because people are walking in front of their house to somewhere else, by the way. So it's become like there's like the incentives for whether or not you're going to do a certain thing that's aggressive and violent and potentially murderous from when we saw this happen in Florida before. So you kill someone and you can get off from saying you're standing your ground no matter what the situation is.
Yep.
So we talk about like these incentives for whether or not you're going to try and keep people from committing crimes, or whether or not you're going to go ahead and tell them they can do it. This has been telling all these folks, especially in states like Florida, hey, if you have a gun and you see the wrong kind of person out there that generally we can assume the police will side with you on, you can pull your gun out and say they were threatening you. Because you know, in general, The police believe they're threatening too. That's what they do. Like, they're all learning the same lesson. Yeah. Hey, black folks, no matter what their age, no matter what they're on, no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing in that space, they're threatening. And if I, as long as I say they're threatening, because I'm the scared white person, everyone else is gonna believe me.
Yeah.
And the sad part is that's not like a radical argument from them. It's been used over and over and over again. That's why they're using it again, not because they get away with it because of that argument.
Totally, yeah, totally. And they almost always do. This maybe is too crazy of an example, but honestly, who knows? Like, the fact that he's running at people with a gun doesn't seem to him to take away from the fact that he's standing his ground and in defense. By the way, the idea of acting in self-defense already existed. Perfectly good if you were actually defending yourself. That was not good enough for these people. And so right wingers around the country decided it is not quite easy enough for white people to murder black people. So we're gonna come up with stand your ground. And now it's been passed all over the country. And so what are we supposed to do, JR? Like, you have to get legislatures in all these different countries to overturn it, or in theory get a Supreme Court that's sane. Except how are we supposed to do that in the next 20 years? So, I mean, how many incidents are we gonna have like this? This one thankfully didn't result in anyone being shot, but often they do. And we're seemingly stuck with this for some time.
Well, if I'm not sure if these gun experts and people that talk about the gun usage and safeties, I'm not sure if this guy was using the correct gun safety protocols and all that stuff, running out waving his gun, which again, if it's in the wrong kind of a situation, could easily accidentally shoot someone and say, oh, well, they were attacking me. Now you have to come up with like excuses. There's a reason why you don't bring these types of weapons into a general disagreement or anger based off what they're doing. Hey, drive by and yell at them. I don't agree. Keep going, yeah, bro. Like, why does it have to get to this point?
Yeah.
There's this anger with anyone who's doing anything for themselves or disagrees with what you think normal society should be. Yeah, fine, be mad and disagree. I see protests all the time. We drove up to Napa over the weekend. I saw Trump signs. I saw dump Gavin Newsom signs and keep California safe signs. I saw protests in the streets. I saw all that stuff. It's weird. I didn't go to the local gun shop and find a gun and go, I'm gonna go tell them to get the peace of my mind.
Did you not have time or? Yeah, and I'm glad that you didn't, because We know how juries end up adjudicating all this. Let's play a little quick mind game. So he said, I have to have this gun because those kids will kill my wife and they'll kill me. I might be killed, so I need to have this gun. Here, let's flip this around. If those kids had beaten him to death with a bicycle because a guy was running at them with a firearm, were they standing their ground? Would they have been? They were scared. I mean, after all, on their side, they can at least say the other guy has a gun. That seems to buttress their argument. When the woman was getting in their face and like pushing them and stuff, could they have stood their ground there? She was being very aggressive. A crazy person got out of a car and rushed them. But you know that that's not how anyone would actually adjudicate that. The white guy with the gun, or the guy that at least looks white in the video, I have no idea who he actually is going to be able to say these unarmed kids who are literally doing a bikes up, guns down movement are scary. But me with a gun, I'm not. No one can actually be scared by this. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, because the mere existence of you, as even as a black teenager, how old these guys were, your mere existence is a threat. That's what we've been taught. That's
exactly
what the police have been believing. And that's what general society thinks as well. You're a threat because you exist. I can have a gun. I'm still not a threat if I'm this guy.
Okay, really fast, let's jump into our last story of this first hour. So less than a week ago, the platform OnlyFans announced that they would be banning sexually explicit material, which makes up the vast majority of the content and the types of creators that are on that platform. It was seen as a complete abandoning of the creators who had made the platform worth as much as it was. And the reaction was harsh and fast too. And so people wondered, what are they going to do? Well, they did, I think, the only thing that made financial sense for them, at least in the short term. They are reversing course on plans to ban sexually explicit content after securing agreement with its payment processors, it is announced. Now, maybe there were some sort of new deals that were set up in the interim with the payment processors. Maybe. I think it's more likely that they were about to lose everything and they knew that. And so they decided we would rather have our content creators and more limited ways to process payments than have MasterCard like us and nobody will be on our platform. That's sort of my guess at this point, JR. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there were, I was wondering this as, you know, as things started getting banned and people had limitations and all that stuff. I was like, this is gonna eventually get to OnlyFans where they're thinking, we don't wanna be considered this next porn site, right? And I didn't fully think they would get there because of the amount of money that was just being generated. I was like, well, money rules all. So I was a little surprised when they even started this whole thing, but I guess they came to their financial consciousness and they were thinking, hey, we gotta continue to make our money. And who cares? There's so many people that are going through this platform, especially in times like this. You got to be the one, because guess what might happen? There might be another one that pops up to take your place and they generate all that money.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose what's already been working for you. I think that's part of the motivation too. It's not like some other entity couldn't have started up and said, hey, all OnlyFans creators or whatever the hell they're called, come in, you know, take us.
Well, and there already were some platforms that were almost certainly going to get some of those creators. I imagine even with this change, the creators are probably going to be a little bit less focused specifically on this platform, because you never know, maybe they'll make this change again. I don't know.
Right.
OnlyFans put out a statement saying, thank you everyone for making your voices heard. We have secured assurances necessary to support our diverse creator community and have suspended the planned October 1st policy change. OnlyFans stands for inclusion. And we will continue to provide a home for all creators. Please, we would really like to. Please, still call us home. Come back. Don't close the door. No, don't lock it. No. If I had to guess, that's probably how that went.
No, that first sentence just there. Thank you for everyone for making your voices heard. If you hear a company or entity say something like that, they're like, we just received a lot of public pressure, and we're gonna cave, which is fine. You listen to your customers basically. So that's what happens. Yeah. You tried something, it didn't work.
Yeah. Anyway, look, I don't know if they're gonna necessarily recover like their, I don't know, reputation. I don't know generally what creators thought of OnlyFans before. I assume this is going to do some lingering damage to the way that their creators and customers think of them. But in the interim, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of individuals that either wholly or in part make their living through this, thankfully now are not being totally cast aside and wondering how they're gonna pay their rent. So that is a good thing.
Well John,
this, but it's a good.
We'll see if they follow my lead, because I was right about to end my JR's Candies page on OnlyFans. I was really close. It was just about to happen. I think that was the thing. I sent them an email and everything. I said, listen, I'm one of your top content creators. And I'm just not happy with this decision that you're about to make. This is ridiculous. Where will the customers get their candies? I mean, it's obvious, it's here. I think I should launch my own website. I need to be the competition.
Only JRs? Anyway, I don't know. Yeah, it was probably you. But anyway, beyond this, I would say, if you're watching this and you have a company, you sell a service, you sell a product, I have a crazy idea. Advertise on OnlyFans, or not even if you don't like OnlyFans because of what they did, whatever. Advertise on places where explicit content is provided, because stop being babies, honestly. Like you can advertise on things that have lingerie, you can advertise on things that have bikini, you can advertise on things which on different levels are about sexuality and titillation and all that. But if it's explicit, you can't. It's one, as we keep saying, it's one of the most fundamental things about being a human is sexuality. It is not new, it is not wrong in any way. Like dicing out little, like separating little areas where it's like, oh, well, you look really good in a bikini on the beach. That's really cool. You took off the bikini top, you're horrible. That doesn't make any sense. How long are we gonna continue like this as a species? We can move past this. We could do it all together. We could rip off the bandage and stop pretending that there's something wrong with this.
We have this fake, like, you know, we're so, you know, worried about what things look like. We have billboards with people, guns and movies and all this stuff that look really bad, way worse than this. So
I agree. Unfortunately, we're out of time. There is more coming. We're gonna take a short break, but more news is coming up right after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.